You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Saturday to you. We have a special Saturday edition because I got my man Brian Ellis back. The Sixers had two games thus far. They play the Orlando Magic tonight. I think that the 76ers will win that game, but I want to talk about the two games after that. I mean, they have back-to-backs at Detroit and at the Milwaukee Bucks, and I really want to talk to Brian about what does he expect to see from that team. I hope I'm not jinxing anybody, but Brian, I think they're going to win tonight, but I want to talk about what do you want to see from the 76ers, you know, going up against two solid ball clubs in Detroit.
Yeah, Keith, thanks for having me back. It was interesting, you know, after the first two games. I mean, it was like the tale of two teams. I mean, given that Boston is probably one of the best teams in the league. So again, the outcome wasn't what we as Sixers fans, you know, wanted to see, but you know, it is what it is. Boston's a very good team. And then you had the Chicago team that first quarter, you know, I was like, the Sixers gonna play defense or not? But then the cream rose to the top. But to your point, you know, you got Orlando coming up at home. I think Orlando's coming off of a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. So that should benefit the 76ers. But, you know, to your point, you got these games in Detroit and Milwaukee. And it's going to be your true test to see exactly what kind of team we have for this year. Again, long-term, big picture, you know, I'd like to see, you know, I don't know if they're going to win 52 games this year. I do think they'll be somewhere around 50, you know, and 50 to 52 games. That's what I would like to see. But, you know, they should be beating these teams. Again, I think Milwaukee is going to be a team that's going to contend in the East. Actually, I like Indiana a lot, too. Mm-hmm. But these are games that you should be winning or you should be very competitive in. Now, I guess the challenge for the Sixers is, what you're seeing right now early on in the season, is that what they're going to look like towards the end? And I'm sure there's still room for growth. You know, we didn't even talk about Markelle Fultz yet. but you know, so it'd be interesting to see kind of how we respond in these two upcoming road games.
Yeah, and see, this is what I want to see. I mean, okay, so the first game, okay, all offseason, people were telling us that the 76ers, like Ben Simmons improved his foul shots. He shot 45% in the first game. They was telling us that Markelle Fultz regained his confidence and he regained his shot. Well, he's shying away from shooting the ball. And yeah, he did score 7 points, you know, the last game in the fourth quarter. But really, it was like he didn't shoot the ball really until the game was out of hand. You know what I mean? Or make them. They kept saying that Joel Embiid is going to play bully ball, be a beast on the low block. And he was going to stay in the paint on defense. Well, he was shooting a lot of threes the first game against Boston. And he was in the perimeter against Boston on defense. So, you know, typically when you play a tough team, you revert back to the things that you used to do, the negative things that you used to do. But when you play a team like the Chicago Bulls you could beat, yeah, of course you're going to do everything right. So me, I want to see if the Sixers are going to revert back to that team or regress to be that team or revert back to that team that played Boston, or are they going to look more like the team that played Chicago and the team that I expect to play against Orlando?
Yeah, that's a good point, Keith. You know, I think the Boston may be one of those things where that team is kind of in their head now. You know, even last year, some of the even before the playoffs, they had some really bad losses. I think the one game they played in London where they had a big lead, ended up losing to Boston. Mm-hmm. So it's clear to me that Boston is kind of one of those demons that they need to exercise. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny too because, you know, you ask a question, well, what the heck have they been doing all summer? You know, you talked about the free throw shooting. You talked about the confidence for Fultz. You talked about Embiid going to bully ball. And you're right. I mean, you didn't see any of that in the Boston game. You know, the Chicago game, yeah, you know, they started, illustrating, you know, doing some of the things that we thought they could do this season. So that's why I think these upcoming games are going to be very important. I mean, I know it's still early on in the season, but we need to know what we have. You know, right now I think it's just really tough to say just because, you know, that Boston game and that Chicago game, it was almost two different teams out there playing.
Yeah.
So to your point, it's really important that this upcoming road trip with two solid teams in Detroit and Milwaukee, we really get to see what kind of team that, we are. You know, one thing I like to see is I heard a lot coming into the season about them being better defensively. Again, it didn't show early on in the Chicago game, but I think these two teams, particularly Milwaukee, is going to test, you know, their defense and their defensive abilities, and I'd really like to see them step up on that end of the court.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, it's funny because, you know, they're saying that these two guys are going to be out for a while, whereas, like, Wilson Chandler said he expects to come back next Saturday. And I'm hearing that it's possible that Mike Muscala could come back this week, like, in one of the games this upcoming week. So, you know, it's like we'll see something. But they're going to be a different look from last year because, you know, you look at Wilson Chandler, you know, he's a 3-and-D guy. He plays both forward positions. And then Mike Muscala, you know, he's more of like a role player. Like whereas Ersan Ilyasova was a 3-point guy. Now Muscala, can shoot threes, but I don't think he's as good as Ersan. Matter of fact, he's not as good as Ersan. You know, so they're going to have a slightly different look. It will help out. Now my question to you is, where does Markel Fultz fit in all this?
You know, that's the million-dollar question. You know, for me, to your point, I think coming into this season, losing Bellinelli, losing Ilyasova, you know, you kind of acknowledge that you're losing some offense. You know, you're losing the three-point and shooting ability. So, you know, how do you make up for that? You make up for that by being a better defensive team. So someone like Chandler, you know, maybe the length of a Markel would kind of help you on the defensive end. So I do expect them to be a bit of a different team from the team that finished last year's playoff with a more of an emphasis on defense. Having said that, Markel, I mean, he's the wild card. You know, I mean, unfortunately, you know, I think a lot of the success this year is going to rely heavily on the kind of play from Markel. You know, I mean, when we drafted him, I guess over a year ago now, you know, he was, you know, looked at to be that dynamic guard, that scorer that would really give you some offensive firepower.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I know it's early on in the season, you know, early results, you know, it's clear that the kid has a confidence issue. But I think a lot of our success this year is going to really rely on Markel. And to that point, you know, you got to ask the question, Brown, you know, how can Brown deploy him to be an asset to the team, you know? The kid, you know, something's in his head where he doesn't have the confidence. Now, against the Chicago Bulls the other night, he did shoot the ball 15 times, but it was really in a blowout, you know, when times get tough. And hopefully we see that in Detroit and Milwaukee, you know, what kind of impact he's going to have on the game.
Yeah, and you're right. And here's the thing, what kind of impact? And my question is, will he actually be in the game? I mean, how long will he be in the game? Because, you know, the thing about that is, if you look at it in the second half, the rotation. So, the substitution, too. So, J.J. Redick starts. The first guard off the bench is Landry Shamet. And then you go T.J. McConnell. And then is Markel. You know what I mean? Now, again, I think it's going to be that way when they play elite teams. But when they go up against, like, you know, the rebuilding squads, then Markel's going to get the chunk of TJ's minutes. You know what I mean? But does Brett Brown have confidence enough to play Markel in the fourth quarter against an elite team? That's the question.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. You know, when Brett Brown first said that he would start Markel, you know, I thought that was a step in the right direction. Then when he came back to say, well, he won't start the second half, I'm like, oh, well, okay, well, what does that mean? And then for him to play the way that he did during the Boston game, I mean, it really threw up some red flags. I mean, was it based on frustration? Was that his plan all along? You know, so I, you know, again, a lot of this is going to depend on Brett Brown and trying to put this kid in a position where he can succeed. I guess you ask yourself the question, is Brett Brown the coach to do that? You know, I guess time would tell.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for, you know, Markell in these upcoming games, I think for someone who struggles with confidence, you know, you almost got to let the kid go out there and make these mistakes. I get it that you're supposed to be a 50-plus win playoff team. And, you know, you can't, you know, take L's, take losses, especially to teams that you're more superior than. But, I mean, for this kid to grow and for us to have any hope that he would really be a contributor for this team, you got to throw him out there. You know, I thought what they did in Boston was really, in my estimation, unacceptable to play 3 minutes in the second half, you know, using guys like, I mean, I like TJ, you know, I like the rookie, Shamet.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I mean, you gotta sink or swim with this guy. So you gotta throw him out there. You know, there was something there for him to be the number one pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he has some type of skill set. We just need to kind of, you know, the coach needs to show the confidence in him to go out there and just play. You know, get out of his own head and just let him play his game, and hopefully, we reap the benefits as a team.
Yeah, you're right, and you made some great points with that as well. But look, I don't want to get long-winded with y'all, but like I said, this is like a special Saturday edition. And I want to thank my man, Brian Ellis, for being on here. You know, Brian, just tell people how they can follow you on social media.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm a longtime Sixers fan, longtime Philly sports fan. And Keith, I just want to thank you again for giving me the opportunity to come and, you know, talk and share with you and some of the and your listeners. You know, for me, you know, I am on Twitter. It's BRE23 is my handle. And again, you know, hit me up and I'll be willing to, you know, chat and talk some Sixers, because this is a team we all love. So looking forward to the conversations with, you know, the fans.
All right. Well, thank y'all for listening, and I'll be back on Monday. And I want y'all to have a nice day.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.